Proclaim me, Lord, you reign. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the privilege once again to be in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for life and the grace to live life to the full. Thank you, Lord, that every plan, every agenda, every strategy that the enemy had deemed to use against us in one form or the other has consistently failed. We thank you, Lord, that you daily frustrate the forces of darkness because your grace sufficient continues to uphold us. Thank you, Lord, that you are our light and our salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we need not be afraid at any time or be concerned about anything. Because, Father, we are in your temple. And you abide in us. And your greatness, your strength, your awesome power is daily demonstrated in us and through us. Your grace being sufficient. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. We give you praise. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have you here tonight. It's good to see Brother Rick. Didn't see you this morning. You've been on my mind. The heart of God is a heart that we need to understand. Because when you know the heart of God, you know how he works out things in our lives. There is a challenge that I and every one of us face in life. And that is a challenge of manifestation. Manifesting what God has already done. Because whatever God has done, he has done already. Every victory that you are believing God for is already taken care of. The only thing that is left that God ultimately wants to do is to cast the devil into the lake of fire, the bottomless pit. But every other thing that you can imagine, he has already completed. But the problem is, we don't know how to manifest what he has already done. So when we, there's not going to be any regrets when we get to heaven. There'll be no regrets. There's no place for that. The word of God says it wipes off away all of our tears. But what we will experience, while it's not regret, because we would have arrived anyway, so there's nothing to regret. There's nothing in this earth realm that compares to the life after this. Let me put it this way. When you have a live baby that you're rocking, you don't have any time to regret the toy baby from Toys R Us that you were rocking. Okay? So let's assume for a moment that you did not rock this toy and you finally get the real baby, there's no regret that you did not play with that. You have this. Are we together so far? But it would be nice if you were able to play with this and also have this. So what I'm trying to say to us is there are no regrets. However, we will know that there are certain things that we should have had that we did not have. And the quest in our spiritual walk is to have this toy and have this baby. Because God wanted this and that for you and I. If God's word says, in the house of the righteous, there's wealth and riches, and I died poor, when I get to the other side, it doesn't really matter because I am where the fullness of all of that is manifested by God already. But wouldn't it be really, really nice for me to have both? To have heaven, the word of God says, heaven on earth. And I think for me, for you, for us as the body of Christ, the challenge is bringing both things together, having both. Because there's nothing wrong with having both. There's no reason for us to deny this because we want that. The Word of God says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, what you're going to wear, your shelter, all of that. He said, God already knows that you have need of that, and He will make provision for that and has made provision for that. He says, but I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all of this stuff will be added to you. Amen? That is the truth of God. Now, what am I trying to say so far? I'm trying to say that most people, a lot of people, will die not experiencing all that God has for them. I don't want to be part of that group. Do you? So what is the solution? As I saw the face of the Lord to hear from Him, what it is that He wanted to talk about to us this evening, He kept on saying to me, Luke 8 and verse 18. So I shelved it. I decided to nap for the, 30 minutes or 40 minutes that I had to nap. And I kept on asking the same question. And He kept on saying the same thing. He didn't change. I asked the same question maybe about 5 or 6 times. And the answer was still the same. There's nothing different. So I said, okay, let me look at the passage. And the passage says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, the therefore is there for a reason. So what is this passage about? This passage is about the sower of the seed who went out casting the seed, and some fell on the pathway, some fell amongst rocks, some fell, you know, where the thorns were, and some fell on the good soil. And the one that fell on the good soil produced great fruit. You had a great harvest. The question still is, what is the connection between that and this? A lot. Because the Word of God tells us that those who heard the Word in the rendition of this particular passage in Matthew, it says they heard the Word of God, but having not understood, they cast the Word out, and the enemy came and caught it. So first then, is that when we hear the Word of God, we've got to understand. How many of you heard me say something like, are we on the same page? And I say it so many times in one service. Guess what I'm trying to do by the Spirit? Is to bring you to a place where you understand. I'm not here for show. To show you how well I can preach or teach or my understanding of the Scripture. What I understand doesn't matter. What you understand matters to you. It is not my understanding that's going to save you. It's your understanding on how you hear that's going to save you. That's going to help you ultimately. Because the Word of God that you understand will always be with you. The pastor may not be there. Other church members may not be there. Your Bible may not even be there. But what you understood from the Word of God, as we talked about in bringing together the waters, bringing together the Word of God, and having a grasp of what the Word of God is saying, is what is going to cause you to know how to effectively wield the sword of the Spirit and be effective in destroying the agenda of the enemy. Amen? So you see somebody who's doing a martial artist, and he's doing karate or whatever, and he's going, shoop, shoop, shoop. When the fight is coming, is it going to be shoop, shoop? The punch is coming from this way. But the skill that he has is going to make him defect and make him to go. His understanding brings him to the present when he is in a situation to be able to defend and go into offense. Are we together? But all of this is important, because if he doesn't understand that, he's not going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Are we together? So the Word of God says, check out what and how you are hearing. Are you hearing with a spirit of understanding? Some people listen just to be critical. What is he going to say? Was his grammar correct? Who cares whether my grammar is correct? Do you understand? He has an accent. What does that have to do with anything? What is important is that you get the message. And understanding the Word of God is what is going to bring about a transformation and a manifestation of the purpose of God for your life. You got to understand. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says. It tells us about the sower who went about sowing the seed in verse 5. And it says, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. It did spring up, but it withered away because it lacked moisture. Wow. So basically, the word of God is saying, you're receiving this word, don't lack moisture. We're going to come closer and check a little bit more on this. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. It's telling us that you need to be careful about what is growing with you. Because whatever it is that you allow to start growing with you, the Word of God, the mixture, those mixtures are going to choke out whatever it is that you've got. You have to be careful about what you are bringing into your spirit. You cannot mix. It says, another fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath what? Ears. To what? Hear. Let him what? Hear. Oh, shakandebe asukoye. He that hath ears, let him hear. He that hath ears, let him hear. Who is it that has ears? The word of God says faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word of God that you embrace and receive that gives you the capacity to hear. And when you have the capacity to hear, because the word of God is changing your heart, changing your thinking, now faith comes into you because you come into alignment with that which you believe because you heard it. Are we together? So, the precursor to you being able to hear sounds strange, is you hearing the word. I have to hear the word. You know, it's what came first, the chicken or the egg? God, by his grace, gives you the capacity because he sees your heart and sees that there is a willingness to embrace it. The Bible says that when Moses saw the bush that was aflame but was not burning, he turned aside to see. You have to have an inquiring mind to know, a desire to know, a heartbeat that wants to experience God for you to experience God. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to draw you, and the attention, the very willingness of you saying, I want that, brings you into the inner courts of God's graces. That's a miracle of living. Now, the disciples were there, and they heard what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and they wondered, this thing that he's talking about, what is that? And he says unto them, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries. You've been given the capacity to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others, I speak in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. This is heavy. I'm going to leave this one for another day. But basically what the Word of God is saying is, it is for everybody, but it's not for everybody. Why am I speaking parables? Because I want to see if the desire to pursue after knowing is in them. If there's a desire to know, they will ask questions. The Bible says that Jesus, when the mother and father left him and they thought he was lost for 3 days, when they found him in the temple with the leaders of the day, and he was asking questions and answering questions. Because his heart was there. And when the parents said, "We've been looking for you," he says, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I would be about my father's business?" And the leaders said, "Where did this kid get all this wisdom from?" When you hear the word of God, do you do like the Bereans did? Go check it out. Pastor preached about this today. I loved it, but let me go check it out. Not because you want to be critical and criticize, but because you want to know what you heard, what you were taught, and feed your inner man so that that word becomes one with you. Some people just come to church, hear a good sermon. Well, praise God, that was good. I'm not interested in you saying that was good, because it's no good to you until you digest it. If you keep on eating and it's not digested, you become constipated. Hello? You've got to digest it, because until you digest it, it is not nutrients to you. The digestive process brings nutrition to your body. And when you receive the word of God, you've got to take it in and say, "Okay, I heard that. Now, how does this apply to that? How does it apply to this?" Because the word of God produces everything. So how is it going to produce that for me? How is it going to help me accomplish that? How is it going to help me walk more uprightly before God? How is this word that I just heard right now draw me closer to knowing God and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? Here, fall in it. I don't care whether you are simple-minded and everybody calls you dummy. They will be surprised, because the word of God will so wire you up that you start saying things and the wisdom that is coming out of your mouth dumbfounds them, and they say, "What happened here? I thought that guy was a dummy." No, he's no longer a dummy, because he's embraced the word of God, and there's no dumminess in the word of God. The word of God is full of wisdom. Hallelujah. So when I know what I hear, believe what I hear, and what I'm hearing is what God says, I don't see myself less than what God says I am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now he explains, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is what? The word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Notice it says they heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In essence, the believing of the word of God is what causes you to be saved. It's what causes you to be delivered. Matthew says, they, not having understood the word, the enemy came and cut the word that was sown in their hearts. They did not take time to grab that word. He says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. They receive the word with joy. But they did not have any root. Matthew says, they did not have root in themselves. And these ones believed for a while. But when trouble came, when temptation came, they fell away. Those that on the rock. Now, it told us they did not have moisture. Yeah, they didn't have moisture. So, but it says here that not having moisture is not having the capacity to withstand temptation. Moisture means there is wetness. That is mixing. The word of God says, not mixing the word with faith. You receive the word of God, you believe the word of God. And no matter what happens, you just believe the word of God. You still believe in that crazy nonsense? Yes. What business of yours is it? I just believe what the word of God. Oh, you're just a fanatic. Okay. I'm a fanatic. Well, there are people who are fanatics jumping around with what's her name that sings. She's a major big star. Taylor Swift. Huh? It's interesting. Taylor and Swift. They've been tailored to be swift to I don't know what. They're going crazy for Taylor Swift. And meanwhile, Taylor Swift is abusing and cursing you that is a believer that what you're believing in is garbage. And the Christians are there sitting and saying, yeah, maybe what she's saying is true. Yeah, I remember I was praying about something and it didn't come to pass. Maybe what Taylor Swift is saying is the truth. How dumb are you going to get? We buy into the lies of the enemy. You'll find out from the word of God that part of producing is you standing. I'm going at it steadfastly with patience. Oh, I don't know if this works. And you quit. You're just a quitter. That's what you are. You don't have moisture. You're not mixing the word of God with faith. The enemy comes and takes the word away. You receive it and you're excited about the word of God. But your excitement is not enough. The excitement's not enough. You've been excited about the word of God. That's not enough. It's good that you're excited, but God wants you to understand what you're excited about. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, notice, they had heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Wait a minute. You mean there are cares and riches and pleasures in this life? And God says, yeah. And says, and bring no fruit to perfection. What is this group? These are people who heard the word of God. They're excited about the word of God. However, having heard the word of God, they allow other things to come in there. They're blessed of God. And there's money in their pocket now. And now, what do they want to do? They want to chuck those who are believers like them, because they are now serious movers and shakers. They want to hang around other movers and shakers, and they don't care who those movers and shakers are. You know, just want to rub shoulders. You know, I'm going to be, you know, oh, this celebrity came to my house. Oh, I went golfing with Tiger Woods. You know, I'm not saying Tiger Woods has any problems. I'm not that. Just understand where I'm coming from. You know, the other day I was on the phone with Donald Trump. I was on the phone with President Biden. But you don't care about the things of God. You just, whoever it is, you hang around. I'm a part of the billionaire club. Okay, thank God. Is that all it's all about? You're now blessed. Whatever it is that you believe in God for is manifested in your life, and things are really good. But while things are good, are those things choking the love of God from you? You used to pray when you had a need. Now, how much do I have in the bank? It doesn't matter. Just pay it. God blessed you, but He gave you that $10,000 today, not for your use. He gave it to you to give to her or to give to him. But you've taken it and you spent it over there. And when you saw him, you could care less. Go get whatever it is you got to get the way I got it. Don't you know the word of God? Don't you know you should work hard? Let me tell me again about how you manage your money. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about I'm in a state, things are bad, I need to get out of this mess. How did you make it? Well, this is how I did, this is what I did. You need to continue the word of God. Yeah, there are challenges, there's this, and so on and so forth, but God is our source, God is our helper, God will this, God will that. And while God is doing that, brother, let me help you with this. Take this, and I put seed in your hand. When you are living in the world of me, myself, and I'm okay. The chances are that you're pushing out the capacity to love others. And it will choke. And you bring no fruit to perfection. Notice, it did not say it did not have fruit. It had fruit. The first two had no fruit. This one had fruit. Having heard, They went forward. But it got choked with cares, riches, pleasures of this life. Then it says, but that on the good ground. Notice the first three heard. But that on the good ground are they which in, somebody say in, an honest heart. In an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. No rush. With patience. What is the quality of this one? An honest and good heart. That didn't just happen. The person with an honest and good heart is the person who hears the word of God, and having heard the word of God, do not give room to condemnation, but give absolute room to conviction. And having been convicted by the word of God, they make changes. This is the person that's busy taking the rocks off of the ground, tossing it out. Sees weed, takes it out, tosses it out, and is busy burrowing on that soil, digging into it. Why? I'm making room for seed. Something else is coming into this ground, and I have to be ready to produce fruit. Amen? That's a good heart. It's an honest heart. An honest heart will feel things. Will feel the pain. Will feel the pressure of life. But its passion is, I want to live a life that is pleasing unto God. So they passed me off on that promotion because I'm a Christian. That hurts. And the person that's under me is above me now. And how am I going to serve? It's pain. But the word of God says, do all that you do as unto the Lord. Instead of me swearing and cursing and everything else. It's not that I'm tolerating that situation. That's the situation I find myself in right this very moment. So in all things, give thanks unto the Lord. But I still go to God and say, this is not fair. This is not what I bargained for. But Lord, I give you praise. I honor you. And I'll do my utmost where you have positioned me right now. I like that, but I'll serve you where I am and glorify you in spite of. Are we together? That's a good and honest heart. They receive the word of God. They keep on believing the word of God, in spite of whatever it is that is happening. And sometimes what is happening is very contrary to what you expect. The Lord Jesus Christ just heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Heaven opens up. And the Bible says, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Excuse me, we're going the wrong direction. And here comes the devil. "If thou be the Son of God." I already know that. God just told me I'm the Son of God. But if you're the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. Prove it. Prove it. Prove whatever God said. That's when he said, "I don't have to prove anything to you. I just believe what God said. I am what the Father says I am, and I don't have to prove nothing to you. I just know." Buzz off. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You want me to get bread? I don't live by the bread alone. It didn't say man does not live by bread. It says he doesn't live by bread alone. But by every word. But in a natural, by the word of God doesn't feed my tummy. Bread feeds my tummy. But the word of God says, no, word of God feeds you. I don't need bread. No, you need the word. Why is it that I don't need bread? Because the word will produce the bread. I don't want you to rely on the natural things that you think will solve your problem. I want you to rely on my word. Are you listening? When I went to Asia, I was really short of the harashis that I needed. I'd taken what the saints here had given. I'd gone into my personal accounts. I'd taken everything. And I was still underwater. But I also knew God is more than enough. And when I got there, God was asking me to do things that in the natural I shouldn't be able to do, because you should know I don't have that. But if I focus on that, I will disobey the instruction of the Lord. So I focus my attention on what the Father said, what he's saying, and focus my attention on that, and I got everything that I needed done. And I wish I could come here and tell you, because I don't know, maybe while I was taking money out, God was busy putting money in. Are you listening? So while I was going there, I was learning more. This is how God works his stuff. Now, my faith can be connected to, I have to have lots to do what? And if that is my hearing, then that becomes my limitation. Or I can hear him taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding the multitude and having more than when he started. He's that kind of a God. Okay, God, if you want me to go this way, I'll go that way. You want me to do this? I'll do this. How I'm going to accomplish it, I don't know, but I will listen to your instruction. And while I was there, he's asking me to do other things. And I'm thinking, you know how much we came here with, right? And you're asking for this. And you're asking for that. But I was going through a work of grace. It's not the first time. It's not the second time. It's not the third time. And it may not be the last time. So Paul says, I've learned how to be content. Content when I have little. Content when I've got lots. But no matter what it is, whether it's little or lots, my focus is on him. This one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to press. That's how you listen. I'm going to press towards the high callings of God. They brought forth fruit with patience. Patiently brought it forth. You hear the word of God, and God wants you to produce the fruit. With patience. And it will seem like he finished that whole aspect. I don't want to spend too much time on that because I need to wrap this up. He makes a statement. No man, when he had lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed or setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Oh, key. Key. You get the word of God, don't hide it. Get the word of God to benefit others. How do you listen? Are you listening just to benefit you, or are you listening to the word of God so that you can benefit others? That's how you listen. You want to manifest the glory of God, you got to live your life to be a blessing to others. Father, I'm going to spend 5 days fasting and praying. Why? So that I get more anointed. Wrong. Wrong. You may feel goosebumps. But the purpose of your fasting and your praying, all that praying that you're doing, must be so that you can be a vessel of honor to serve other people. God, I want you to use my life to bring healing to the masses, to bring transformation to other people. I want my life to cause people to come to a place where they walk into divine wealth and divine health. God, I want my life to show forth your glory. Oh. Do you remember those guys stepping into the promised land? And the priest went ahead of them and stepped into the Jordan. Remember that? And they were in the Jordan and everybody crossed before the priest crossed. The priest standing in that water was part of how God was keeping the waters away and keeping the land dry. So there are people over there. I'm better than you. Look at you, priest. I'm in the promised land and everything is good for me. You're not coming to an understanding that the reason you got where you are is because of this guy over here. And there are people in church like that. They don't know the times that something is happening or something's about to happen in somebody's life. And here is this priest over here crying out to God, being used by God to ward off things off of your life. How many of you have ever seen that interesting kids cartoon, Inspector Gadget? You know Inspector Gadget? He thinks he's doing all these things and he's so amazing. Oh no, it's all the sidekicks that are busy working and making sure. Huh? I need to go look at Inspector Gadget again. It's been over 20 years since I saw Inspector. What am I talking, 20 years? It's got to be close to 30 years when my kids were still kids. But many times that's what's happening. You don't know who's fighting and battling all kinds of stuff on your behalf that God is using. That is their assignment. I'm here to be light. That's why if anything happens in this church and I don't have a purview or have a sense of it before it happens to any person in here, I go home and say, what's wrong? How come I didn't know about this? What happened? What happened here? Why is this happening here? No, I got to know because I'm supposed to be light. Sometimes I'll talk to people, and sometimes I'll forewarn them. I say, this is what the Lord is saying. You got to change this, because if you don't change this, this is going to happen. And then it happens, and, oh, Pastor, I say, I'll pray for you, but remember when I told you this is going to happen? Yeah, I know. But can we do it? It's not in my hand anymore. I can ask for mercy. I can ask for intervention. I can ask for whatever I can ask for now, but I told you. You know, being in ministry now all these years, I've seen how people don't understand. They really don't understand. It goes through this ear and out the other ear. They don't grasp with understanding how the things of the Spirit work. And this next statement is very telling. When we read verse 17, and I'm going to wrap up in a moment. When we read verse 17, we think most times it's about God being judgmental and God saying, hey, all those bad things that you did, I'm going to blow it up and expose it on CNN. But that's not exactly what it's talking about. He says, for nothing is secret. This is what the Word of God says. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Remember where we started? It's about the seed. And basically, what God is saying here is, hey, how you hear is going to determine the manifestation. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Wherever it is, it's going to show up. The land was hidden by the water, but it came out. the trees, the grass that was hidden in the land came out. It says, the earth shall yield its increase unto you. Is that what the word of God says? The earth shall yield it. Which means that for it to yield, it was holding on to it. And the message is this: whatever God wants to do in your life shall come to pass. Amen? It shall come to pass. So check out how you listen. Have the hearing ear that says, the will of God shall be made manifest in my life. The devil shall not have the last word. I and God in agreement will have the last word. So you think you're hiding stuff from me, it's going to hit the fan. It's coming out. You think you're keeping my money, it's coming out. You think you're keeping my husband, he's coming out. You think you're keeping my wife, she's coming out. You think you're trying to damage my children, they're coming out. Nothing, devil, that you are planning is going to succeed in my life, because the glory of God shall manifest the glory of God in me and through me. I shall come forth gloriously in the mighty name of Jesus. I cannot be kept down. That which is secret, he says, nothing is secret. It's coming out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be kept down. Praise the Lord. Take it therefore how you hear. Whosoever hath, meaning if you have it, to him shall be given. In essence, if you have it, you get. If you have wealth and riches inside of you, you get. If you have divine health inside of you, that's how you think, you get. There are people who do not have divine health inside of them. They're busy pushing iron and everything, running, and pff, they drop dead. With all their muscles, they drop dead. There's no divine health in there. There's all kinds of Superman muscle, but no divine health on the inside. He says, if you've got that inside of you, it's going to be given to you. If you have wealth and riches, you're going to manifest it, because it's going to be given to you. And guess what? According to the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. And guess what? When you speak, you hear. And may I say it this way? You hear you more than you hear others. And whosoever hath not, that's heavy, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You're going to take from the person that doesn't have, and you're going to take it and go and give it to the person who has? Well, remember the parable of the sword, rather the talents. God believes in increase. And what he has given, and he has given to every one of us, something. But if you don't believe that you have it, he says, I'm going to come and take what you think you have or don't have. I'm going to give it to the person who knows that they have. And therefore, we manifest it. The capacity to manifest is based on our hearing, and our hearing based on our understanding. Understand the Word of God. Know, like we just found out in verse 17, nothing secret that's not going to be exposed. If it's secret to you right now, but it's in you, it's coming out. But it's based on how you hear. It's based on whether you are wanting all of that to be a blessing, or you're just about yourself. Well, I love it, you know, when I go to Glory and Peace Church and I hear the Word of God, it always encourages me, and I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. Who else are you talking to and telling about the benefit that you're getting? Keeping it a secret to yourself? Guess what? Before long, you will not be here. Because the desire to be here will be removed, not by the devil, even God. He will take it from you. Because you're not making use of what you've got. You're not shining as light. You got to take what you've got and find a way to let it shine. If there is, I'm missing a word. You know, if you have a lamp and the lamp has glass, soot, that's what I'm talking about. If you have soot and you don't clean that glass, the light will not shine brightly. The light is just as good as it should be, but it will not touch. So you got to clean the suit off. Yes? So that it shines. If it's a bulb and dust comes around, you got to do some dusting and it will shine brightly. Remove whatever it is that is causing your light not to shine. Because the Word of God says, in the book of Revelation, I'm going to come, I'm going to take your lamp off. A good place to go is Turkey, the nation of Turkey. And when God grants us the grace to go to the Middle East, that's one of the places I want to be certain that we go to. You know why we need to go there? Ask me. Good, since you ask so clearly, I will tell you. The seven churches of the book of Revelation, they're there. And when you go to Turkey, you will see the thriving churches that were there, and all you see is nothing. Nothing. Those churches are gone. The church is not thriving, but that was almost like the birthing place other than Jerusalem. That the Bible talks about it in the book of Revelations. And those churches don't exist. The church of Sardis and Ephesus and all of that, gone. We wouldn't have a whole book on the book of Ephesians. Gone. And when I got to Turkey and I saw those churches, my heart broke. And I thought about North America. I thought about Canada. And I said to myself, is this what we're about to face if we don't change and shine brightly as the light of God in the West? I was listening to something the other day, and this guy was saying, give us another 15 or 25 years, you're going to have Sharia law in Canada. I'm saying, which Canada are you talking about? He says, we are here. We are going to take over. I'm looking at this. The guy is serious. He's serious. He says, we are having children. Lots of children. And we're going to take over. And you're going to do what we say you're going to do. But guess what? Are you ready for this? The devil is such a liar. If we stand for truth, all those children will get saved. They will come to the Lord. The Lord will show up before them. And we will be here doing the will of the Father. They're coming from wherever they are. They said we cannot go to their country. They come in here and they're going to get saved here. Hallelujah. Any which way you want this thing to roll, this rock of the Lord is on the roll. I don't listen to that garbage. I listen to the word of God. The Spirit of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen? God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, child of God, I thank God for the privilege of sharing the word of God with you today. Thank you to all those that remembered my birthday and have been so nice, and you too. I was teasing him. He was singing me happy birthday, and someone gave me a card. And I said, I like this better. Just jiving. I love the singing too. You have a great voice. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all. Enjoy the goodness of God. This Wednesday is Bible study for everyone, and Friday's prayer meeting. Let's continue to pursue the heart of God, and let's keep on doing what God has called us to do. Amen? Rise with me. Say with me, Father, I have received your word. I embrace it. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that this word is transforming my life. I hear with the hearing of faith, and by faith, your kingdom come and your will performed and perfected in my life. I am one with your word, and your word is one with me. Together, we are, by the authority of your grace, representing your fullness in the earth. Father, I give you praise for my transformed life. So, Lord God Almighty, my light can shine brightly and transform my community, my nation, and the world. Cause me to shine brightly. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. As we give unto the Lord, may God continue to increase us. May God, our Father, multiply our seed sown so that as we utilize that which he has given to us, more lives will be changed. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Well, thank God for all of you that are watching on YouTube. At this time, we'll cut off from